we go. Subnormal Magazine back here with Bloody Mess, punk rock legend. We were just asking Bloody in the last segment kind of where are you now, Bloody, kind of in relation to where you were back then, and, you know, what changes have occurred in you? What are you into now?
Well, the bottom line is, as far as my story goes, 2009, I found myself retired from music. I was done. My mother passed away. My daughter, who I love dearly, was nearly 18, and she was pretty much gone every weekend. I didn't see her much. Yeah. I had just gone through a divorce, and I was at a very low point in my life where I was like, wow, all the feminine in my life is gone. I'm not in a band anymore. I just go to work every night, then I come home and I get high, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I was doing, like working a regular job, you know, behind a freaking desk, doing, say, advertising sales, which I did for years on the phone, and I made a great living, but, you know, it burned me out. I was completely empty. The phone rang one day, or I got an email maybe, and they said, look, we're a band from Medford, Oregon. We're going on tour. We're going to be playing Peoria, Illinois, because one of us is from there. We do one of your songs called Empty in our set, at the end of our set. We'd like to know if you'd come on and sing it with us, man. We'd be honored. Huh. And I'm like, wow, couldn't have happened at a better time. I'd love to do that. Thank you, guys. It makes me feel great that you asked me to do this. I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, where's Oregon? And so, anyway, flash forward, 6 months later, 3 months, whatever, the guys come to Peoria. I think there's going to be 30 people there, maybe, in a little dive bar. And there was like 200-300 people. The place was packed.
Wow.
I couldn't believe how they had promoted the show because Chris Blanchard, who was from Peoria, he did his work and he promoted it. Got all his old buddies from high school, his old skater punks came out. And so I did the song Empty with him. He told me, quote unquote, out of our entire tour, that was the best 3 minutes we've had on the road overall, completely. Like, that was the best 3 minutes of the entire tour, bro.
Nice.
And I'm like, what a compliment, you know? He's like, your energy is great. Well, you know, why are you retired? You had to consider, you know, keep doing music, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just not for me anymore. I'm just depressed. I'm out of it. I'm over it. Thank you, though. It was great. Well, when that guy got back to Oregon, he kept in touch. We became friends. I'm trying to make a very condensed version of this.
Cool.
He basically started writing songs with a band called the Hollow Bodies. They started emailing them to me. I'd like knock out lyrics in like 15 minutes, send them back over. They're like, man, you just wrote lyrics to 3 songs in like a half an hour, bro. And I'm like, you should be in a band, Bloody. And I'm like, maybe. So then they said, look, we want to be a band. I'm like, well, you're in Oregon. That won't work.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we'll fly you out here, man. And we'll set up your very first West Coast tour. And you've always done the East Coast and the South and the Midwest, but you have no fans on the West Coast. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? That is a great idea. I can focus on the West Coast and pick up my music career.
Nice.
So I flew out, did Portland and Medford, Oregon. It was amazing. And then we did another like little mini tour of like LA and Portland again. And all of a sudden I developed a little following very, very quickly. And one night we went on tour and we ended up playing at the Redwood in LA.
Yeah.
All these like people with big punk rock names showed up, like a lot of famous punk rock people.
Yeah.
And they're like telling me, look, we've been reading about you and the magazines that you mentioned, Bruce, Maximum Rock and Roll, Flipside, for years.
Yeah.
But we really don't know your music, to be honest. So we came here to see what you can do. What are you going to bring to us here in LA? Because we're jaded. We've seen it all, bro. You know?
Yeah.
One chick even said, yeah, look really cool. I'll give it to you. You guys look super cool, but yeah, we've seen it all, so whatever. And I remember getting in a big fight with this girl who became a good friend later.
Cool.
But I was like, you know what? You might have seen it all, but you've not seen me. And so we proceeded to kick some ass, to be completely, what a stupid term, but we really did. We rocked really hard, and everyone there came up to me afterwards and said, wow, mega respect. We've never seen a show like yours. Yep, you're the real deal, bro. And so Glenn Danzig's manager, Russell from the Four Kids, came up to me and he said, hey, man, we have a mansion in East L.A. We want you to stay with us. And I'm like, but we're there.
Nice.
So his brother is the manager of Be Real in Cypress Hill. So, wow, I'm sitting in this place where, like, Lemmy hangs out and, like, different people from L.A.
Love him.
We live, like, right next door to Sly Menstra Hyman from Guar. I'm like, wow. And you know, we're from Peoria, or I was, so I'm like blown away by all this. And then it just blew up from there. The next thing you know, bro, I'm recording with like Don Bowles from The Germs down the road, and Rick Agnew from Christian Death, and Paul Rossler, one of my idols, from Nina Hagen, and The Screamers, 45 Grave.
Cool.
Casey Royer of DI became a great friend. Like,
nice.
Yeah, I'm not bragging. I'm just skipping ahead.
Yeah.
But I did my 30th anniversary album in LA and decided to invite some of my punk heroes, and they all said, "Yeah, man!" Like Richie Ramones and Ramones came, Donnie Bowles and the Germs.
Awesome.
I was literally in heaven, Bruce. You know.
That's great. That's great, buddy. That's awesome.
And that happened, and the next thing you know, I got offered to do quite a few little independent film roles, a couple offers for a couple soundtracks to write, you know, songs for, which I co-wrote a lot of this stuff. I should give credit where it's due. I don't write music, only lyrics, and I do vocals, so everything I do is co-written by some amazing musician that I always give credit to when I can.
Cool.
But we did a soundtrack for a film called Spy Darlings in the UK, which had Lloyd Kaufman from the Toxic Avenger film.
I remember those, yeah. It's great.
The guy that played Charlie in the original Willy Wonka movie was in it. A lot of strange underground characters. It was fun.
Cool. Very cool. And I saw this awesome video. I'm going to put a link, if you don't mind, to your video with directed by Nick Zedd. Tell us about that, because I'm an old Nick Zedd fan, you know, Richard Kern and, you know, Sonic Youth and all that, you know, scene. Tell us about working with Nick Zedd.
Yeah, it's just like you. I came from from Illinois, and I was a big fan of the Kern and Nick Zedd and all those great underground films.
Yeah.
And John Waters, of course. And I always loved Nick Zedd in particular because he was connected to Lydia Lunch, who I just adore.
Yes.
And I was like, I love Nick Zedd, and he's got this such a just a really nihilistic view on stuff, and I just connected with the guy.
Yeah.
I could relate to Nick Zedd, and well, years and years, decades went by, and I remember my friend Gigi Allen at the time.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, he was telling me, yeah, Richard Kern is talking to me about doing a film with me, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, Nick Zedd's name got thrown around, and I'm like, oh man, I wish Nick or Rick would do a film with you, Gigi. That'd be a good partnership there.
Wow.
Well, never happened, but yeah. I kept staying a fan. Well, I've been doing radio since 99, and about the year 2015, 2017, I finally, after being friends with Nick Zedd on Facebook but not knowing him, I reached out and decided to try to be his friend. And we got along really well, and we had the same sense of super cynical, sarcastic, dark humor, and but big hearts. Like he was very real, extremely real. Like he's a very loving person, but he had a brick wall around that heart, like many do. He was not going to let you in unless you were very much real.
Yeah.
So Nick was a loving person, but only to those he thought deserved it. And he was also very confrontational, and I loved it. Against, like society and its bullshit. You know, sorry to cuss on your show.
Yeah, sorry.
But Nick became a guest on my radio show, and then we started talking. And one day he's like, "Look, I'd love to do a video for one of your songs, man." And I go, "Okay, that would be a beautiful thing." So we worked out a deal, and I paid him what he asked for, and he produced a video called Skeletons, which turned out to be one of my better songs off one of the best albums of my career. So Nick became a good friend. He got really, really sick. He reached out to Tracy and me and my wife and said, "Look, you're one of the only people that I trust left in the United States," because he left for Mexico because he could not stand the imperialism. And I'm not going to get into the politics. I want to, but I won't.
Yeah, you can another time.
He didn't stand for the imperialistic, hypocritical, terroristic ways of the United States government.
Yeah.
And he moved to Mexico to take a stance on to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I respected him so much for doing that. And then anyway, without offending those that are going to hate my guts already at this point.
Who cares?
I don't really care, to be honest. But Nick Zedd was very real. Like that man was so real. And he reached out, and this is sad, man. He told me, "There's no one I really trust. You've proven over and over, bloody, that you're trustworthy and you're honest." And I go, "I am." And he goes, "I need you to help me. I'm dying of cancer. I have all these things wrong. I trust nobody. I need you to help me with a fundraiser. I don't know what to do."
Oh, man.
So we tried our best to do it, and we tried every avenue, and it didn't work out. But he totally was so blessed, he gave me such like love for even trying.
Wow.
He was able to get it done on his end, and he was able to totally meet the goal he wanted. But then he died a couple months later, sadly. That was really sad.
Yeah, I know.
He was coming back on the show soon, and we were going to do another video very soon with him. And the whole thing was so quick, you know?
Yeah, I read he passed away. I was so bummed out about that because, he was a young guy, fairly young. So, but crazy,
He leaves behind a wife and some kids, though, and I hope they're not struggling too bad. I hope that there's somebody out there that's either anonymously or somehow donating to these people because they're an artistic family. Like, his whole family appeared in my video, like his kids,
his wife.
They were like an artistic movie-making, like, video family, and I can't say enough good stuff about them.
Nice. That's cool. I'll have to get this to, either of us, but yeah, I mean, Lydia, I've spoken with quite a bit over the years, a few times off and on, and I know she was close to him, obviously, like you said. That's incredible. But,
yeah, she's high on my bucket list of interviews. I would probably pay Lydia Lunch to interview her.
Yeah.
No shame here.
I had the pleasure, like my first year in L.A., I hooked up with Lydia when I was back, finally came out here. It was so exciting. It was like a...
Oh, my Lord. That's awesome. I'm going to hear more about that later, bro, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Bloody, you're just incredible to me. I mean, in the stories you've got, I could talk with you for ages, but I know we've got a limited amount of time here. So I'm going to take a quick break in the recording. Please don't go away if you can. I want to pick up with you in 1 minute. But please hold the line. Subnormal Magazine talking with Bloody Mess. We're going to take a quick break here and be right back.